Let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for being with us wherever we are gathered today, with those who are gathered around us, with the Spirit next to us. We gather to worship and honor you and praise your name. We gather in the comfort of our homes to do faith in a different way. And Lord, our faith cannot be contained, and the Spirit needs to whisper that in our ear right now. The Spirit needs to open our heart to your word and tell us that it is still the word that we have come to know each and every Sunday. And Lord, we will open this word and it will still transform our lives. It will change us and renew us and strengthen us. So Lord, I ask for your Spirit to be in every home, that your gospel may go throughout every home and it may reach into our hearts and tell us where we need to be and who we need to be reaching out to. And Lord, as we talk about today, radical faith in our homes, my hope is that you will reach in each one of our hearts and let us know the people around us who are gathered with us, what it means to share gospel with them. So Lord, be with us today as we open your word again. And we pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, welcome back to the Neighborhood Online. It is great to have you joining us this Sunday. And we've been going through a couple weeks now of Radical. It was a series that we really started before all of this happened, when some people are to stay at home right now and some people are kind of, hey, cautious to be outside, and we got social distancing going on. We had this series planned beforehand, and it was about radical faith, radical life in Christ. And 2 weeks ago, when this all kind of started, we really went into this, what does this radical anxiousness mean? And that our radical faith had to meet that fear and that anxiety and meet it where it's at and then exceed it. Our faith had to grow past that. And last week, we talked about the Great Commission. And what does it mean to go? What does it mean to go and make disciples? And how do we change that go? How do we change that go now that we're in our homes? And what does that mean in our heart, and that we can switch it? It can mean something right now about who we go towards and who we reach out to. And that go, while Jesus meant it to go among all the nations, is still true today. And today we're talking about radical faith at home. And I want to tell you, I don't know how much your lives have changed, but there are people entering your home without you knowing it, because I believe Zoom is happening a lot now for a lot of people. A lot of businesses, a lot of churches I know are using Zoom. I've been watching that. And you've been inviting people in your home on FaceTime. You've been inviting people walking around your house because we want to see each other. We want to interact with each other. And we've brought people into our homes in that way. And we've experienced it as the Lyles household. And what's happened to us is we experienced it week one, when the schools stopped meeting. And I just want to start right here and give a shout out to the teachers. Huge shout out to the teachers, because you guys rocked it. You guys took a one-day turnaround, two-day turnaround, and flipped it and did an online platform for all of our kids, and it was incredible. And sitting down next to my kids to do the work with them, I have so much respect for what you do. It's absolutely incredible. And I got to see the work that my kids do with you each and every day. And as much as I got to sit next to them, I also saw the joys of sitting with them. And what I saw was great, because I was sitting with my daughter, and we're working on her fourth grade English, and she had to use a certain word in a sentence. And there was two words she had to use, and it was reflection and inflection. And as she was using these words, I was watching her write the sentences, and what she chose to write about was inflection. And she says, "My mom's inflection changes radically when my dad doesn't do the dishes," is what she said. I was like, oh, man. And what you realize is that kids are watching all the time, and they're at home all the time now. So if mom's voices and inflection changes, guess what? The kids know it. And I have to be honest, this is a little bit of a pastor confession right now. Just a little bit of a pastor confession. We did have a conversation about the dishes, and I would call that a strong conversation, because we don't use the word argument in our household. We just call it a strong conversation. And as all this started happening, Jess was coming back from travel, and I'd made sure the house was clean, but I didn't do the dishes, and she was gone for a couple days. So this is my confession. I might have let the dishes be in the dish sink area for more than a day. More than a day. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to say how long, but they might have been. The rest of the house was clean, but the dishes weren't done. And Jess came back and she said, "What happened with the dishes?" And I was like, "But look at the house. Bing, bing, bing. It's so sparkly." And she goes, "No, what happened with the dishes?" And I was like, "Well," I was like, "a lot of things changed, Jess. In the last 4 days, a lot of things happened," right? And I was like, I was managing all these different things and going. And she goes, "Okay, you need to do the dishes. You need to do the dishes." And I realized that what she was really saying is that it's not about the dishes. It wasn't about the dishes. What she was saying is that we need to reprioritize what is happening in our household now because things are changing in our home. And that means that not only are duties and roles changing in the home, but kids being in the home is different. School being in the home is different. Work being in the home is different. And faith being in the home is different. And if I'm going to speak for many of the people out there, I think we've all felt that. We have all felt that something is different in our home right now. And I can tell you, when Jess talked to me, I knew it wasn't about the dishes. But what we had to find out is, what was it truly about? How do we need to reprioritize? And so we're going to break into a text today. Break into a text with Jesus going into someone's home. Because we're talking about radical faith at home. And when we talk about that, I want to know what Jesus did when Jesus went into someone's home. And so I want you to open your Bibles. We love scripture in the church. We love Bibles in the church. And so if you got your Bible, I'm going to give you a couple seconds right now. I want you to go run throughout your household. Go grab your Bibles. Take your time. Go grab your Bibles and go in your bedrooms and grab it. Go have the kids grab their Bibles. And if you got the Bible in here, that's awesome. We always do something in the neighborhood church on a Sunday morning. We always grab our Bibles, and Forever has a Bible. We have everyone say, everyone bring a Bible. So on the count of three, I want you to say that. One, two, three. Everyone bring a Bible. All right, now that you got that, if you got the good book, amazing. Hold that. Feel the weight of it. That is the weight of the word in your hands. We love that. And if you don't have the Bible, that's okay, because we have an event on the Bible app for you to get on right now. So go download the Bible app, and there'll be an event on there called The Neighborhood Church. And it's also on our website that you can link to, so you can go check out our website and get a direct link into the Bible app if you're not located in Bentonville. And so you can pull that up, and it will walk you through scripture. It will walk you through message notes. We'll have devotions on there so you can get into all those things with your family. And that's going to be important today because we're talking about faith at home. So we're going to be in scripture today, and we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. They tell the story of Jesus Christ. They tell the story of Jesus Christ from birth all the way to resurrection and ascension in some Gospels. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 10. And before we start reading that, I just want to take you back a little bit into what's happening right before this in the text. So we're going to be reading a text that's called Jesus Visits Martha and Mary. And right before this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. So Jesus is talking about all these different people and how we interact with people and what does it mean to care for people. And right before that, he is asked about the greatest commandment. And so he's asked about the greatest commandment, what that greatest commandment means. And so I want you to go back and I want you to look at that. And I want you to read through that and see what's going on with Jesus. And as that's happening, we're going to be talking about Jesus visiting Martha and Mary. And we're going to start in verse 38 in chapter 10. And here's what it says. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends our gospel reading. I want to go back to verse 38 as we start this message. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. This is where I want to begin. As they went on their way. Because here's what I'm thinking about. We are on the way right now. We have come from a place and we are going somewhere, and we are literally on the way right now. And in Jesus' ministry, as far as I can tell, he stopped at about 20 different homes on the way in his ministry. He went to the home of Zacchaeus. He went to the home of Pharisees. He went to Peter's house, Jairus' daughter. He went to all these different homes on the way of his ministry. And each one of these, he stopped and he shared the word. And so he was going from one place on the way. He stopped in homes in order to go on to where he was headed. And we've come from a place on the way. We came from a place where work was normal and it was routine, where the kids were in school, where shopping was okay, where there wasn't social distancing. We knew this routine and it was safe and it was comfortable. And now we're going on the way. And as we're on the way, we're in our home. And when we're in our home, we have to look at our faith. And our faith tells us one thing right now, that there is something after this. That what comes after being on the way and being our home is that promise of Jesus Christ, and that we will gather together again. And I believe that. And so we have to know that while we're on the way, we are going somewhere and we're going to get there. But right now we're in our home. So let's have radical faith in our home. And I love Mary and Martha because I can hear that conversation actually happening. My parents used to have this magnet on the fridge that said, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." And I don't know if that's kind of a mantra in my life now, but it's one of those where I'm like, okay, we got to do something. Like, people are coming over, and we know that feeling, right? We know that feeling when someone's coming over, like, we got to clean the house, right? It's how I cleaned the house before Jess got home, right before she got home, and that about 30 minutes, but I forgot the dishes. We got to clean the house and make sure everything is clean. And we go through and we rush to make sure everything is perfect to show them that we have a perfect house at all the time, when that's not really true. And Jesus is talking to Martha, and Martha's saying, hold on, Jesus, don't you care about me and what I'm doing for you? Now listen to that one more time. Jesus, don't you care about me? That's what Martha's saying. Jesus, don't you care what I'm doing? And it says she was distracted. Distracted, and that word literally means too busy to sit and listen to Jesus, too busy to be in the presence of Christ, too busy to be in the Word. And I wonder what's happening right now in our homes. Are we a little bit too busy? Are we distracted? Where is our priorities right now? And is it in the Word? Is it in faith? Is it with Jesus Christ? Is it in discipling our loved ones or increasing our faith in our own relationship with God? Or are we too distracted? And you need to answer that question for yourself. You do right now. Are you too distracted? And I can tell you honestly, as a pastor, I can tell the days, and it has happened many times, when I have been too distracted. Too distracted in my home and not enough in the Word of God. And that needs to change. And she says to Jesus, don't you care? She says, Jesus, if you care, make her do something, which I love, because now you're getting like parent Jesus and child, right? Like, that's what's happening. Oh my gosh, they wouldn't do this. Mom, dad, don't you care? Like, can you make her do something? Like, do you hear this from the kids? I completely hear this. I hear it every day from I just fed the dogs. Okay, well, here's your choice. I always do the add thing as a parent, where I add more on and I say, you can choose what I gave you, or I'm going to add more to it. So for example, you can feed the dog, or you can feed the dog and pick up the dog poop. Your choice, two options. What do you choose? Oh, number one, congratulations. I think it's a great choice. Awesome choice. And here you have parent Jesus going, Martha, Martha. And I want you to hear that in that way. Because Jesus, when we are too busy for the Word and we're too distracted, is still compassionate and grace-filled for us. Where we might lose our cool with our loved ones or ourselves when we are too distracted and we might be too hard on ourselves, Jesus is absolutely compassionate and loves us gracefully in that moment. And listen to what Jesus says, and I love this language. Jesus says this, Martha, Martha, you are worried. There's that anxious word again. You are anxious is what that text says. You are pulled apart. You are divided. You're split. Don't be split. Don't serve two kingdoms. I'm here in front of you. Just be with me. Be in the Word. And he says, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. In that distracted language, that you are distracted by many things, it means to be turbulent. It means to make noise. I don't know how many of you, but when I'm in trouble in the house, which is pretty often, when I'm in trouble in the house, I'm an angry cleaner. I don't know how many of you do that. I clean angry. I clean in a way that's like, if I'm in trouble, well, okay, watch me now. I'm going to clean, and you're going to see this house spotless is what you're going to see. And so I clean. I don't talk. I have a straight face, right? I might turn on some music, right, just to pump me up and get me going, and I got that, but I clean everything, and it is great. The goal is to be consistent, which I might not be following that angry clean, but I'm definitely consistent, and what this means is to be turbulent. When he says you're distracted, Martha, It really means to make a noise, make a ruckus. And you know people, when they're angry and they're cleaning, they like slam doors and throw things down and put dishes hard. Okay, there's the plate here. How do you open a cabinets, right? That would be turbulent. He's saying, Martha, not only are you distracted, but I still love you, but you're making noise. It's really hard to talk with Mary here, and I hope that you would join her. And if you do join her, guess what? It won't be turbulent anymore. You can sit at my feet, and it's okay. And I want you to hear this from Jesus right now. It's okay to pause. What radical faith might look like right now is pausing with your family. Pausing with your family and loving them. That time that you've always prayed for with them, to sit with them and just be with them, to read scripture with them. And Jesus is looking at Martha and saying the same thing. Martha, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Stop what you're doing and just listen to me. And when he's saying that, he's saying, come to me. Come to the word. Let me dwell in your heart. That's what Jesus is here for. That's why he came into this house. Jesus didn't come into our homes to see perfection. He hasn't come into your life to see you perfect. He has come into your life to show you grace, to say in the midst of your brokenness that he's going to love you, and that when you come and sit at his feet, he will pour into you the Spirit. And yet we are too distracted, and yet we have all the time. It's amazing. And Jesus says, sit with me. Dwell with me. Listen to it again. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. What is the one thing? I'm going to tell you right now what Jesus is talking about is the Word made flesh. Jesus is saying, I am the truth and the way and the life, and through me, those who come to believe will have the power and the keys to the kingdom of heaven, eternal life with me. Jesus is saying there is need, not want, not desire, not distraction. There is need of only one thing, Jesus Christ, the Word. And what we have today in the midst of our homes is this scripture, this life, this Word on your heart. And here's my question to you. It's not about the dishes. It's really not. There's so much more, believe me. It's not about being distracted because there's so many things that can take us away. It's not about being divided or pulled apart. It's not about making a noise or a ruckus. It's about stopping, being faithful to the Word. And when you're faithful to the Word, you can dive into the scripture and it will transform your life. It will transform who you are and your heart and all those around you. So here is my challenge. I want you to go back and I want you to read in Luke. I want you to read about the greatest commandment. I want you to read about what the parable of the Good Samaritan is. I want you to talk about it. I want you to share stories about when people cared for you. Share stories about this scripture and how it is your life. Not that you're reading it and you're applying it, but that it is your life, because I believe that God is speaking to us right now through this word. And he's saying, stop and just listen to me. Listen to the word and it will change your heart, because we're on the way right now. You were here and the routines were set and it was comfortable. And now you're at home. And I've told you that I'm going to abide in you, and you can abide in me, and you can make a home in me, and I will make a home in you, is what Jesus says. And I have a promise of things to come. A promise. That's where we're at. And it's so much more than the things we can do. Today, the radical part about our faith is stopping and being in the Word. And I challenge you this week to open your Bible, dust off its pages, and read it, and know that it will transform your life. Because Jesus is the Word, the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what he calls us to today in our homes. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we are before you today knowing that we need to dwell in your word and sometimes finding so many distractions throughout the day that it is hard just to take a few minutes to read your word. But Lord, you have given us the time. You've given us the time to be in this word and to find that a space where it can transform us and it can move us and it can grow us deeper into our relationship with you. And so Lord, I ask that you send that spirit to comfort us, to remove those distractions, to say it's okay to stop and to be in this word, to find a moment with you, to lift up our prayers, to say where our heart is at, to pray over those who have been affected by everything going on right now, to hear the prayers of those gathered around us, to reach out to loved ones. Lord, there's so many ways that your word can be in our life right now. And my prayer is that you would give us a bold faith, a radical faith to live into your word. So Lord, my hope is that your spirit dwells when you are not with us. The spirit that you sent, that you said you would never leave us orphaned. The same spirit that you were baptized with, the same spirit that was open and descended from the heavens, that you would send that into each and every home and we would feel that spirit and it would be a guide for us. And that spirit would be a comfort for us as we open your word and read it. And we trust that you are the way, the truth, and life, and you have a promise for us. And we pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. This next Sunday at the Neighborhood Church begins Holy Week. It is Palm Sunday. We celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And we have something really exciting happening at the Neighborhood right here. It's going to be a youth-led band. Actually, we do this every single year. And so you're going to see youth sing. They're going to be playing instruments. They're going to lead worship for us. So you're definitely going to want to join us next week. And then following that, we're going to have Good Friday service on April 10th. And then we will have Easter online on April 12th. And you're not going to want to miss any one of those. So we invite you here for Holy Week. It begins on Palm Sunday next Sunday. See you next week.